Well, how many have survived? How many of you had just a pretty crazy busy week or a couple of weeks leading up to Christmas? Or it's just been pretty crazy. Anybody been a little crazy over these weeks? It is kind of a nutty time. And let me tell you, sometimes it feels like this year hasn't been so bad for us, but sometimes it feels so busy. It's like watching the Iron Chef on TV, the contest. You ever watch the Iron Chef? You got these two great chefs that come together to compete, and they're given a special ingredient like Spam or something. I don't know if they've ever been given that one. And they have to do like a 5-course meal and include that special ingredient in every course. And man, each team is quickly working. They're bumping into each other. Sweat's running down their faces. They're working as fast as they can to not just get the meal right, but to plate it just right so that everybody has these fancy plates and they're all there and they're playing it out through each commercial and coming back like they're not going to get done in time and you're not sure if they're going to make it. And then finally all the plates roll out before the judges. And, you know, I got to tell you that I've not yet seen a time where a chef hasn't completed the task. They always get it done. That's sometimes how these days before Christmas can feel. Kind of like that real hustle bustle kind of competition almost to get it all done just in time. Let's get every piece together, every detail, the presents, the cards, the gifts, the parties, in just the right order so that when Christmas Day finally comes, it's here, we finally can stop and just take a breath. But you know, I still have not seen a Christmas yet where even though you're afraid it's not going to come together, it finally comes together at the end, just like the Iron Chef. Do you know what I call that kind of Christmas chaos? I call it Christmas on the run. But you know what else? It's not the first time that it's ever been. This isn't something new. I don't think that Christmas on the run is any new invention. I think that if you take a look at Christmas for real, like we've been doing through this whole season, the real part of Christmas, the real story, what was really happening on that first Christmas, what we'll find is that Christmas was very much on the run then as well, but their run was a little more intense than ours, a little more crucial than ours. Just trying to pull together a Christmas day. And we're going to talk about how Christmas was on the run. And as we prepare to do that today, will you join me in prayer? God, a lot of us are coming out of a busy season, and I'm not sure that everything in our busyness always honors you, but we have done it in honor of you in some sense or another as believers of you in this season. And God, as we think about the hustle and bustle, we want to push that away yet one more week to go to the real story, to see what that run looked like then. And Lord, we ask that you speak to us through it, that you calm our spirits and our hearts, and that we can take a breath with you. God, just lead us in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I want to take us to the place in the real Christmas account that's just beyond where we usually go when we read the story on Christmas Eve or on Christmas morning, a place beyond where we usually stop in our scripture reading. We usually read up to maybe the Magi, the wise men that came, whatever you want to call them, and then bringing Jesus the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and then we kind of stop there. And if you're watching it on a TV special or on a movie, that's where the camera zooms off of the stable with the wise men and the shepherds there, and they zoom back, and you hear joy to the world, or angels we've heard on high, you know, kind of the scene. Right? Does it sound kind of familiar? Well, now let's look at the rest of the story. Because in the real story, in the real account, Christmas was a real run. There's a real run going on. Let me pick up in the scripture account that happens right after the Magi leave in the scene in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. Let's say this. When they had gone, speaking of the Magi, after they had visited, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for your child to kill him." Now the word escape sounds pretty intense there, doesn't it? You have to go escape, and it goes on. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and they left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. Sounds like a pretty intense scene from a movie, doesn't it? Joseph gets this word in the middle of the night from God, and he makes no haste about it. He pulls his wife and his child right out of their beds, and buddy, they run. They take off. Now, let's be clear of something here in this account, friends. Herod was not a good king, and he was not a good guy. He was not a good man. Besides not being a good king, he had some issues, and which his greatest issue was his first love, which was himself. He was his own first love. Herod was really fond of being king, and he meant to stay king no matter what it took. He was also a bit paranoid about others trying to get his position as king. He didn't even trust his own children, who would someday be heirs to the throne. Not that they were too stellar of a group of folks to begin with either, and probably he did have to watch his back around them. Herod was also well-learned. He read, he studied, he kept himself knowledgeable not only of his own beliefs and his own culture, but that of others as well. And he knew of the rumors of this Jewish king that was supposed to come. And when the Magi came looking for such a king, Herod felt threatened for his throne. Now, understand, in the real Christmas account, the Magi's coming to worship the Messiah was on a little different time frame, different period than what's portrayed in most of our scenes that we hear about. We taught some about that on Christmas Eve. Many think that on the night Jesus was born, the shepherds came, and then a little bit later, the Magi, they showed up. And why do we think that? Well, because that's the way it's depicted on in the nativity scenes that we see. That's the way it's depicted on the Christmas cards and in the Christmas specials and the movies. They depict it all that way. But Scripture doesn't depict it that way. Scripture says that they came to a house to see a child, not a baby at this point, but a child. In Matthew chapter 2, the second part of verse 9, it says, "And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place the child was." Not a baby, but the child. Then in chapter 2, verse 11 of Matthew, it says, "On coming to the house," not to a stable, not to a manger, "coming to the house, they saw the child with the mother, and they bowed down and worshiped him." You see, the Magi weren't at the manger. It's believed they actually came several months later. Some say as late as a couple years later. So it appears that after Jesus was born in the stable, Joseph and Mary at some point did find a house of some sort, a place to stay in Bethlehem. And we don't know whether they were intending on putting their roots down there. Are they going to stay in Bethlehem? Are they staying long enough until they can travel with the mother and the baby? We don't really know. Are they taking a rest before they go back? We don't know all those things. But it's evident that they had some period of time that things were still and that they were at rest. And it appears that the Magi show up at the end of whatever that period of rest time is at the house that they're at. They come in the end of that time. We know that because after the Magi visit, an angel of the Lord comes to Joseph in a dream and tells him to take Jesus and Mary and move them now to safety. Herod's about to do a dreadful, awful thing. Out of feeling threatened, as being king and threatened of this child king, Herod orders every boy child ages 2 and younger to be killed, to be slaughtered. So after what must have seemed like only a few moments of stillness, Joseph and Mary find themselves on the run with their new son. And can you only imagine that message coming to you? Maybe a time in your life where you have small children, and you hear the message coming, "Mark, get your family together and get out. There's a price on your kid's head. And if you stay, they're going to be killed. You need to go. You need to go now. Don't worry about getting your things together. Just get your wife, get your kids, and get out. Leave tonight. Move." I can imagine the panic that I begin feeling, trying to pull my wife and kids out of the bed and get them out in time just to get them away safely. And I might even be thinking, well, God, if you knew Herod was going to do this a week ago, even a week before, you could have told us a little earlier. I could have at least then rented a U-Haul, got all our stuff together and made sure we were packed nicely, had a nice move out. I could have said goodbye to some folks before I left. Perhaps this needed to be an immediate departure. Maybe Joseph and Mary couldn't be tempted to have time to tell anybody else that they were leaving or where they were going or why they had to go. No, friends, it had to happen quickly and without much attention so that Herod's cronies wouldn't come after them, wouldn't follow them to where they were going. Friends, it was Christmas on the run. On the run. But do you know what? The run didn't begin there. The running, it began back when the first angel came with the first message. Do you remember the story we talked about a few weeks ago? The angel told Mary that she's going to have a child and this child's going to be the Son of God. And she knew that she'd never been with a man and that this should be impossible, yet she trusted God and she surrendered her will to God's will. But what's the first thing that she does after that? She runs. She runs, not out of fear necessarily, but definitely with some anxiety. She runs away from Joseph and her own family and to go to see her relative Elizabeth. And she wasn't quick to come back. She stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. She's just a young girl. Certainly in that three-month period, she's thinking things in her head like, gosh, how am I going to tell Joseph when we get back? How am I going to tell my family? How am I going to tell my friends? How am I going to make this news be known? When she returns and she lets the cat out of the bag, what was Joseph's first response? He's going to run. I can't marry her now. She's going to have a baby who I know isn't mine. I can't marry her, but I also don't want to hurt her, and I want to be as kind as I can, so I'll divorce her quietly. Yes, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to run from this relationship. Let me get out of here while I can. And his running is only put to a stop when God sends an angel to him who says, "Don't be afraid. Stop running, Joseph. Don't be afraid. God really has done this. It's okay. Take Mary home. Make her your wife." But then what happens soon after that? Caesar Augustus issues a decree basically saying, pack your bags, Joseph and Mary. You have to leave Joseph's hometown now and go to Bethlehem for a census. See, and again, friends, Joseph and Mary, they're up and they're running. She's too close to delivery for this kind of a trip, but she doesn't matter. She does it anyway. They get their things together, and they get off running. Friends, it's Christmas on the run. And now after Jesus being born and several months of reprieve, they're off and they're running again. And this time, they're running for their very lives. They run and they escape to Egypt, where they sit and they wait for God until he tells them it's safe to return. And we don't know how long Joseph and Mary and Jesus were in Egypt, but history tells us with Herod's death that it appears that it was about a year or two that they were there. Nonetheless, at some point, Herod dies. And at that point, the angels again return to Joseph and tell him again, now in Matthew chapter 2, verse 20, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. And at once, again, they're off and running. This time they end up in Nazareth. So friends, within a couple of years, Jesus, Joseph, Mary, and the life of the baby, they've lived in three different places that we know of. Pretty busy, pretty crazy. You know, it's not much fun to move at Christmas time. Anybody ever move at Christmas time? We did that once. One of the churches we went to, we moved in the beginning of December, and it was pretty crazy. We're unpacking stuff while we're putting up the Christmas decorations. And at least it was pre-kids, so we probably had a third of the stuff and probably a third of the Christmas decorations, but it was still pretty crazy anyway. Well, for Joseph and Mary, they had moved literally right before Jesus was born, and pretty much again right after he's born, and then soon again after that they move again. I mean, talk about being on the run. So why place all this emphasis on the reality of the first Christmas being on the run? Why look at this part of the story, this part of the account that happens after the birth, after the Magi, after the birth and the life of the Son? Because I believe, friends, that there's a real nugget in here for our lives and for our celebration of Jesus and our celebration of Christmas, a real important nugget. Friends, most of us live our Christmases on the run, don't we? Most of us do. We're not running to save our lives, but we're running. Like I alluded to in the beginning of the message, most of us have spent this whole Christmas season running. From the moment Thanksgiving Day was completed, before that, for some of us, it's like we're standing on a starting line and somebody shoots the gun and we're off. And we're off and going and going and going until the new year. We've been running to the department stores, to the grocery stores, to the parties, to the programs, to the Christmas concert, to the post office, to work, and we've been running and running and running and running in the name of Christmas and the name of Christ, trying to celebrate it, and yet maybe not being still enough to catch Christ before another season rolls by, before another year of Christmas is gone. My suspicion is that for some of us, we've been running up until the point that Christmas night happened, or maybe even into this weekend, up to the point that you came and sat down in these pews today. You've been running and running and running till this morning. But in our Christmas on the run, I want us to stop right now, before all this slips by for another year, before everything goes back to normal tomorrow, and we go back to our jobs. Christmas music's already off the radio. Christmas stuff's already coming off the shelves. Before it all becomes normal again, that happened at the first Christmas. They stopped at least for a moment. Yes, they were on the run. They were on their way to Bethlehem, but they were in the stable, and things were crazy. But when the baby came, when the baby was here, at least for that moment, when Messiah came, they rested. There was a rest. At the end of a storm, there was another storm that's going to be coming really soon, but for that moment, it was all calm. And I want you to do a favor with me this morning. I want you just to stop and take a deep breath. Can we do that together on the count of three? Can we just take a deep breath? Ready? One, two, three. That feels pretty good, doesn't it? Let's take another deep breath on the count of three. One, two, three. Have you ever heard the Christmas song by Amy Grant called Breath of Heaven? You see, in the midst of the run comes the breath of heaven. Take another breath with me one more time. One, two, three. Do you feel the stillness? Do you feel the peace? The calmness? Friends, Christmas is here. Christ has arrived. Stop running. Be still. Acknowledge Him. Praise Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. You see, in the midst of the first Christmas on the run, there was this moment, the moment of God entering into the world where all running ceased to usher in the Prince of Peace. And in the middle of the madness was the moment of majesty. And my question for you this morning and for me is, are you running? Are you running? I'm not talking now just about running in the Christmas season. I'm talking about in life in general. Is your life always on the run? Maybe you're running from God. Maybe you're running trying to find God. Maybe you're running trying to go unnoticed by God. Maybe you're running trying to serve God. But are you running? Are you running from someone or something, or to someone or something? Maybe an issue that you don't feel like you can handle, a hurt or a pain, so shaking your world so badly so you're just running from it. Are you running from the greater reality of something in your life that you just don't know how to deal with, so it's easier to run? I think that a lot of us spend too much of our time running and too little of our time trusting God. Remember the movie Forrest Gump? At one point in the movie, as a little boy, Forrest Gump's being chased by these bullies and they're throwing stones at him. Do you remember what his little friend Jenny says? Watch this clip so you can remember it clearly. Watch this clip. I don't know what demons it might be in your life that have thrown the stones. At some point, sometimes we feel like we're trying to get away from something. We feel braced in, and we finally break through, and the braces fall off, and we just start running. And at first, it feels really freeing. I'm getting away, and I just keep running and running, but you can't keep running without eventually getting tired. Eventually, the running has to stop. You have to stop running and deal with whatever it is that's pushing you, because if you don't deal with it, you're just going to wear yourself out and you're going to burn out. Nobody can run forever. Are you running this morning? Have you started running at some point and you don't know when, but you know you just keep doing it and you keep doing it and you've never quit since? Maybe you don't know why. Maybe you don't know to where or to what, or at some point, but at some point you started running and you just kept running and running ever since. Maybe you're running from something or to something or from someone or to someone. Maybe you're running from yourself, or you're running from God, and that's pretty silly because you can't ever get away from God. You're never going to get out of his presence as hard as you try. You may think you have, but you haven't really. Maybe you've been hurt by somebody, or maybe you have hurt someone else, or maybe you've been trying to hurt God because you feel like he's hurt you. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, it's caused you to take off running. Do you know what? Right now in this moment, the cause of the running, even the direction of the running, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm not asking you to try to figure out what that is at this exact time. But what I want to ask you to do is to do with me something special this morning. Just in a couple days after Christmas, let's stop running. In this moment, in this hour, in this period of time, whatever, let's stop running long enough to take a breath and let's breathe in the majesty of Emmanuel, which means God with us. Almighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's stop, folks, and be in that moment. If he's the Prince of Peace, doesn't that mean he came in the world to bring us some element of peace? So if we're not living in that, we must be running from that. Will you stop with me this morning just to take the moment, just to sing a cappella with no music around us? First and the third verses of O Come, All Ye Faithful, and they'll be on the screen, I hope. But let's just sing them together. Are you ready? O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Age. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, Singing exaltation, oh sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God all, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. God, we come and we adore You this morning. In the stillness and the breath and the quietness of the moment, we focus in on what's real, Christmas for real, and we adore You, Jesus, for coming to this world that we could be forgiven of every sin we've ever had, for coming to this world to show us what fulfillment and peace in life is, for coming to this world to bridge the gap between through our sin, from our sin, between us and Your Father, to put us into a right relationship with You. We adore You, Jesus. We adore You, God. We come together adoring You in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I hope that you've gotten a fresh breath this morning. And with a new breath, don't take it and go right back out and get on the starting line. Don't jump right back into the race. Take time to soak Him in. Take time to be in His presence. Take time to walk with Him and not run ahead of Him. And let's make our new year a year that is just filled with many breaths of our Savior Jesus in our lives. Amen.